This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وأطهر المرسلين. شفيع المذنبين وحبيب رب العالمين. محمد صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most merciful, all praises due to Allah. We bear witness that no one is worthy of worship but Allah, and we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is indeed his final messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who listen to the best of speech, the book of Allah, and follow its commandments. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who come to know the best of ways, the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and make us amongst his followers. Allahumma ameen, Allahumma ameen, Allahumma ameen. As you know, my brothers and sisters, these are the days of Hajj. And during the time of Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave one of his last public speeches, an event that is known as Khutbat al-Wada', the farewell khutbah sermon that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, on the day of Arafat, which is going to be coinciding inshallah with this coming Monday. And we want to take some time just reflecting upon this speech that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave. In it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins by a way of captivating people's attention, and he said, أيها الناس اسمعوا مني فلعلي لا ألقاكم أو أراكم بعد عامي هذا. He said, people listen attentively to me, for it may well be that I will not meet you again, that I will not see you again. And this is why they call it al-wada', the idea of farewell that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking, as if he knows that this is not happening, this is not happening again. So he speaks to the people. And subhanAllah, there is a beautiful study in speeches, something that is referred to as textual criticism, where you just have an overlook view of what the speech is about before you go into the, you know, content of the speech. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins, and he said, أيها الناس, O people. Not a single time in this speech, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever said, أيها المؤمنون, O believers. And they say the point here is, whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying is going to be universal. And as you know, Al-Quran يخاطب فيقول أيها الناس ويخاطب مرة يقول يا أيها الذين آمنوا. And we see the style in the Quran. Sometimes the Quran would say, أيها الناس, O mankind. And sometimes the Quran would say, O ye who believe. And everywhere the Quran says, أيها الناس, O mankind. Whatever comes after it is a universal value. No exception. أيها الناس, إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنسى. أيها الناس, اتقوا ربكم. أيها الناس. Every time the Quran calls upon all people, after it comes a universal obligation. O mankind, we created you from a single pair of male and female. No exception there. Ayyuha nas, O mankind, be mindful of Allah. No exception. Allah invites everybody to be mindful of him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks, and he speaks in such a way. Ayyuha nas, O mankind, O people, listen to me. Chances are I will not see you again. ثم يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن دماءكم وأموالكم وأعراضكم حرام عليكم كحرمة يومكم هذا في شهركم هذا في بلدكم هذا. And then the Prophet, peace be upon him, speaks and he declares the first thing, mandate. And he says, oh people, remember this. Your blood, your life that is. Your property, your wealth. Your honor is sacred. Like the sacredness of this month, the sacredness of this day, the sacredness of this place, the city of Mecca. This is what we call the sanctity of life. And especially nowadays, this idea of the sanctity of life is so absolutely needed. The world has gone mad. The amount of violence that we are witnessing, especially in this year, 2021, is absolutely crazy. From Cuba to Colombia to Haiti to Lebanon to South Africa to Syria, you name it, so much violence. So much local violence that 2021 is destined to be the most ridden gun violent year in the last two decades in the United States. We're only in July and there has been a report of 296 mass shootings in the United States. And this is only July and the year is not over yet. And the definition of mass shooting is an incident where four or more people have been killed. We have had almost 300 of these in just the beginning of this year so far. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells people, human life, sanctity of human life, sacredness of human life is very important. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not stop there. He tells people it's not just people's life that are sacred, their wealth is sacred. Don't take anything that does not belong to you. لا يحل مال امرئ إلا بطيب نفس منه. The wealth of anybody is not halal unless they willingly gave it to you. None of it is halal unless it was taken or given by people willingly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. Then he goes, not only their property and their wealth and their lives, but also their honor. Don't speak ill of people. And see, subhanAllah, the more we honor these things, that don't speak ill of people, don't take something that does not belong to you, then it even becomes more important that you don't even think about killing people. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, tells us about the sanctity of life. But see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does something so beautiful here. He tells people that human life is as sacred as this month, as sacred as this day, the day of Arafat, as sacred as this place, the city of Mecca. Because sometimes, unfortunately, we have a tendency, being very shallow and being very immature, that we give importance to things, to buildings, to times, more than we do to human life. It was said that one time the Prophet, peace be upon him, looking at the Kaaba, a sacred house, man, built by Ibrahim alayhi salam, the very first house that was built dedicated to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He looks at the Kaaba and what does he say? Wallahi inna hurmataki azimatun inda Allah. He said, by Allah, your sanctity and your sacredness is so valuable in the estimation of Allah. And then what does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Wa inna hurmata damil muslim a'zamu inda Allah minki. But the life, the blood of a believer is more sacred in the estimation of Allah than this building right here. وفي الحديث أيضا يقول لزوال الكعبة أهون عند الله من قتل امرئ مسلم. He said that the destruction of the Kaaba is a lesser evil in the estimation of Allah than that the killing of an innocent soul. But it has become, we've become so accustomed to it that the idea of just hearing about a mass shooting doesn't bother people anymore, man. We just hear it and we just cruise by. It's just one of many news. We've gotten so used to it. It doesn't bother us anymore. So much so that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that towards the end of time, there is going to be this idea of abundance in harj. In haraj. And people said, Prophet of Allah, what do you mean this haraj, chaos? He said, there is going to be so much killing. فَلَا يَدْرِ الْقَاتِلُ فِي مَا قَتَلْ وَلَا يَدْرِ الْمَقْتُولُ فِي مَقُتِلْ. He said there is going to be so much chaos and so much killing So much so that those who kill don't know why they're killing, and those who are being killed do not know why they're being killed. A few years back, there was a tourist from South Africa, and he just happened to be taking a morning jog. And then all of a sudden, you know, two people came and killed him, two young people, two teenagers came and killed him. And when they were apprehended later on, the police is interviewing them and they said, "You know this guy?" I said, "No, we don't know him. So why did you kill him?" You know what their response was? "We were bored. We were bored." That's what they said. "We were bored. We did not know what to do. So we decided to entertain ourselves by killing somebody else." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Such foolishness. See, where those who kill don't know why they're killing, and those who are killed don't even know why they're being killed. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, gives this human charter. Listen, all mankind, everybody, listen to this. He said, your lives, your property, your honor is sacred. Like this month, like this place, like this day. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on and reminds people, "Wa innakum satalqawna rabbakum fayas'alukum an a'malikum." Then he said, "People, remember that one day you shall all meet your Lord and you will all be questioned about your deeds." فَلْيُؤَدِّ مَنِ تُمِنَ أَمَانَتَهُ. Said, let those who have been given something for safekeeping, said, give it back. Give it back, lest you be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then goes on to speak. Remember, here he is speaking to all mankind. He said, وَإِنَّ كُلَّ رِبًا مَوْضُوعٌ. Said, I have another declaration to you, mankind. He said, all usury, all interest from the days of Jahiliyyah are now trodden under my feet. وَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ رِبًا أَضَعُهُ رِبَ عَمِّي الْعَبَّاسِ. And the first usury interest that we are going to lay aside is that of my own uncle, Al-Abbas. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after speaking about human sanctity, or the sanctity of human life, now he's talking about improper business deals, improper financial transactions. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, speaks about one way where the poor are exploited, economic oppression. And he says, usually interest from now on, mawdu', it is all laid aside. The idea of lending people in their times of need, exploiting them by charging them interest, said that these are improper financial deals. And then he gave the example and he said, and the first one that we are going to do is that of my own family, my own uncle Al-Abbas, who used in the pre-Islamic era, lend people money, charge them interest. His own interest is going to be the first one that is going to be laid aside. But we live in an era and in a culture where interest is just the way of doing things. John Perkins writes a book published in 2004. He used to work for the U.S. foreign policy. He writes a book and the title of the book is The Confessions of an Ex-Economic Hitman. And he speaks and he says, my job was to convince third world countries to take loans that we know they cannot afford to pay back. He said, that was my job. Why would you do this? He said, we give them the loans, fully knowing, and the loans are given in the form of big projects, engineering projects that can only be done by U.S. corporations. He said, we give them these projects. They cannot pay it back, and as such, we have access to their natural resources. We have access to political influence. And not only that, but the corporations are getting richer while the poor are getting poorer. Let me give you an example. Uganda. Uganda pays the equivalent of $2 a month for the healthcare system for every citizen in Uganda. The same country pays $11 a month just to cover the interest on the loans that the country has taken per citizen in Uganda. Uganda is never coming out of poverty. With this kind of a system, They're never coming out of poverty. He said, we would give people these loans, fully knowing that they will not be able to pay it back, and that is when we get to exploit them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refers to this and he says, this type of financial transaction, they are improper. They take advantage of people. Even though to many of us, you know, we just deal with it and somehow, you know what, my credit card this and my credit card that. But to go this way, just don't think of yourself. Think of what is happening to other people as well. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, speaks about matters, issues that are impacting the global society here. And that is this whole idea of riba. And that is why we as believers, you know, we shun these practices. Sometimes you're forced into it. But the exception can never be the rule, man. No, the idea of just living off your credit card, that is not good. That's not a healthy lifestyle. Somebody beautifully once defined what a credit card is. He said a credit card is a tool by which we buy things we don't need with money that we don't have at a price that we cannot afford to impress people we don't even like. That's how you live? That's how you live life? He said, كل ربا الجاهلية موضوع. You know, all these aspects of riba, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they are under my feet at this point. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about this idea of blood vengeance. Something that just continuously also, you know, feeds this perpetual cycle of violence. And he said, and all this blood vengeance from the days of Jahiliyyah, they are being laid aside. And the first thing that we begin with is something that is within our own family. Al-Harith. A young boy, he was breastfeeding and he was killed, and the people are going after this tribe of Hudhayl, wanting to kill back. And the Prophet ﷺ said, everything, all that foolishness now comes to an end. And to set an example, I am going to begin with my own family. And then the Prophet ﷺ continues to tell us about not just peace outside, not just the sanctity of human life, not just the idea of shunning improper financial deals, not just the idea of, you know, giving back that which has been given to us for safekeeping. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses, yes, he's addressing all people, but then there is this time taken to address men. And what does he say sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, أيها الناس إن لنسائكم عليكم حقا. He said, oh mankind, your wives have rights. وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ حَقًّا. And you also have rights. And then the Prophet, peace be upon him, proceeds to tell us that this woman was haram until she became halal, lawful to you, when we pronounce that we are taking them in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when you listen to Muslims' vows, we don't have a vow, but we have an exchange of qabul and talab. You know, you make there is a talab, you make a talab. You make a proposal and then the proposal is accepted. You make the proposal. What do you say in the proposal? You say, I am marrying this woman, you know, in accordance to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the dowry agreed upon. Now, if you hear non-Muslims' weddings, people exchange vows. And these vows are beautiful. I promise to honor, to love, and until death do us apart. And this is a beautiful vow. However, we believe that there is more value in what has been said by the believers. And that is, we begin this family with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the tendency is, when we are married, we treat each other very well as long as we are in public. When in public, we're very nice to each other. We appear to be very romantic. She takes good care of her husband. They're very nice to each other. But we know that in marriage, what we do in public is not the most important. What is most important is, what do we do to each other when no one is looking? That is what's most important. So during the time of exchanging these vows, the proposals and the acceptance of the proposal, what do people say? You don't have to worry about this. For I made Allah my witness. that I will be good to you. Be us in public or be us in private, I'll be good to you. And she responded the same. I accept marrying you according to the book of Allah. Said, you also don't have to worry because I promise to be good whether we are in public, whether we are in private. We promise to be good to each other. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, speaks about this global peace. But then also it must be stemming from the peace that takes place at home. It must come from there. And remember we said before that we make a distinction between our circle of influence and our circle of concern. Our circle of concern is the globe, but our circle of influence is our immediate family. So we want to take care of our families. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling brothers, be good to your wives. And by extension, he's also asking wives to be good to their husbands as well. If we're not good to each other at that level, then what happens afterwards? And that's not important. That just becomes a facade. It just becomes a show. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on and he speaks about the fraternity of the ummah. And that's such a beautiful thing. The fraternity of the ummah. Ya ayyuhan nas, innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. Said, oh mankind, said, remember that the believers are but one ummah. Remember, subhanAllah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam here, he is speaking to a universal crowd. Some people come from Yemen. Some were locals. Some are from Medina. Some came from Syria. Others came from Abyssinia. People just coming from all over. And then all of the sudden, they're hearing things that they've not heard before. And he tells them that the believers are fraternity. Fraternity of the ummah. Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes on to say, لا ترجعوا بعضي كفارا يضرب بعضكم رقاب بعض. He said, after I depart, do not go back to your old ways where you smite the necks of each other. Muslims killing Muslims. Muslims killing Muslims, man. Where somebody would walk into a masjid, literally a masjid, blow up the masjid, say, why did you do that? Say, come on, man. They're just a bunch of Shias. Shia would be blowing up a masjid, say, why did you do that? They're just a bunch of Sunnis. And now Muslims killing each other, be it in this place or be it in that place. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we just said that there is this fraternity of the ummah. Please, after me, do not go back to these old ways. And then finally, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks and he is concluding. And what does he say? The supremacy of tawheed. Ayyuhan nas, inna rabbakum wahid, wa inna abakum wahid, kullukum li adam, wa adamu min turab. He said, know this. Your Lord is one. Your father is one, Adam alayhi salam. And then he said, wa adamu min turab. And Adam alayhi salam created from dust. And then he says, la fadla li arabiyin ala ajamiyin illa bittaqwa, wa la li aswada ala abyada illa bittaqwa. He said, an Arab is not superior to a non-Arab. A non-Arab is not a superior to an Arab. Whites are not superiors to blacks, and blacks are not superiors to white. But there is something interesting here. Why does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say an Arab is not superior? Why does of all ethnic groups, why does he pick the Arabs? Because he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an Arab. Islam came to an Arab. The Quran is the language of the Arab. So said that even though in that feelings of chosenness, it can lead you to feeling arrogant, leading you to think that you are superior. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no, we're not doing that. We're not going there. An Arab is not superior to a non-Arab. A non-Arab is not inferior in any way, shape, or manner. Blacks are not inferiors. Whites are not superiors. And when you look into this and you see what was happening, you really appreciate the universality and the relevancy of this speech, no matter the time, no matter the place. And that is why every time we begin the khutbah, we begin by saying, وَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الْهَدِي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. The best of ways, the way of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are committed to the way of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على رسوله المصطفى وعلى من بآثاره اقتفى. Now we say that Hajj is one of the most beautiful, practical equalizers. It is the biggest annual convention. It is the biggest. It is the most peaceful. It is so peaceful that the pilgrims are not even allowed to hunt, let alone kill each other. They're not even allowed to hunt. The pilgrims are not even allowed to cut the trees, save to the ecology of the place, save to the people who are with you. It is the biggest peaceful demonstration. It is the biggest annual convention. It is the biggest in terms of attendees, in terms of purpose, in terms of diversity, in terms of duration. It is the biggest, the most beautiful, peaceful demonstration. It is the ultimate equalizer. Because in it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لا فضل لعربي على عجمي إلا بالتقوى. He says, superiority and inferiority of people is not because of the color of their skin. It is because of the piety that they have. And because, you know, this idea of piety is something that is not visible to us. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in people's heart and who is closer to him and who is far removed, from him. And when you see this, when you see this idea of this display, beautiful display taking place, people just being equal in the sight of Allah, equal, because you never know who's this person standing next to you, and that's a beautiful demonstration, subhanAllah. And the world needs this today more than any time. Be it individual racism, be it systematic racism, be it racism that comes in the form of police brutality, whatever it is, man, we shun it, we speak against it, but most important also, we live this equality that we speak. Because remember, if what we believe in does not impact how we behave, then what we believe in is not important. We can say it as nicely, as eloquently, we can articulate it. But if what we believe in does not impact how we behave, then what we believe in is not important. Please remember, inshallah, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. These are beautiful days where good deeds are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For those who are in pilgrimage, for those who are not in pilgrimage. This coming Monday is going to be the day of Arafat. Highly recommended that we fast on the day of Arafat. We will break our fast here, inshallah, at the masjid. You are invited to be with us. Please do let us know that you will be coming, so that inshallah we can accommodate you in the best of ways. The day of Arafat is a day where people make a lot of dua. Beginning after Dhuhr all the way to Maghrib time, for as long as you can afford, please make prayers. And here we also pray that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring peace to our ummah, ya Rabbil Alameen. If any of us or our loved ones are not feeling well, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a speedy recovery. If any of us or our loved ones are going through difficult times, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our pain. If any of us or our loved ones have lost the way, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us back to His way. If any of our loved ones have passed away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless their souls, ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring peace wherever there is violence. Bring water wherever there is thirst. Bring food wherever there is hunger, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen. Bring ease wherever there is difficulty, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us facilitators for peace and justice, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon us, our parents, and the rest of the believers, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fi al-akhirati hasanatan wa qina azab al-nar. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله Just a quick reminder. Apologies, I'm so used to starting the khutbah at 1:15 and finishing at 1:45 and forgot that we started at 1 here. So apologies, this took a little long. Stawu wastaqimu wa'tadilu. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanirrahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل صدق الله فاتبعوا ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله كان آمنا ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله.